I know it's a very long gospel, but I thought to read the long version because it's so beautiful. Well, let me start with a little joke, a little story about a couple who was preparing for their marriage. The bride was getting more nervous by the day. She was very anxious. And so as she prepared for the wedding, she decided that she would have the wedding cake engraved with one of the verses that she liked the most in the Bible. And that's first letter of John, chapter 4, verse 18, which says, "There is no fear in love without fear." She felt that writing this verse on the cake would calm her down. And so she made the arrangements, called the catering agency to do that which she requested. Just a few days before the wedding, they called her, "Are you sure you want that verse on your cake?" "Absolutely." And she said, "John chapter 4, verse 18. And so that's what they did. Everything went beautifully until she entered the hall for the reception and she saw the cake. And she saw that they had engraved the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 18. Not the first letter of John, chapter 4, verse 18. The letter says that love casts out fear, but the Gospel had one of the verses from today's reading. "You have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband." So just be careful about wedding cakes. It's a beautiful gospel. It's one of my favorites. You know, it's the gospel that the church preaches, reads to the catechumens. Today, the third Sunday of Lent, catechumens begin the preparation for the sacrament of Christian initiation. And the church wants to accompany them by proclaiming three different gospels from the Gospel of John that help them understand what they are about to receive, baptism. In today's gospel, we hear Jesus say, "I am the living water." The water of baptism is Jesus. Next Sunday, Jesus will meet a man born blind, and Jesus becomes the light of this man, the light of the world. In baptism, the catechumens will receive the light from the Easter candle. And the following Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Lent, we will read of the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus is the new light, the new life of Lazarus. And those baptized will also receive new life. So as you see, these next three Sundays, we walk with the catechumens as they prepare for baptism. But as I said, today's gospel is a masterpiece. Let me share with you a few of the details that John purposely has inserted in this gospel. We hear that Jesus was walking through Samaria. This should surprise us. Jews would have nothing to do with Samaria. They would walk all around it, never cross through it. They considered the Samaritans a mixed race, not really Jewish people, because they had mixed with pagans, both in their marriages and in their faith. They despised Samaritans. But Jesus, that's why he came. He did not come for the righteous one, but for sinners. Not for those who are healthy, but for those who are sick. So he goes right through it. And very interesting detail, he goes to a well. Now, anyone who knows of biblical spirituality or biblical culture knows that wells in the Bible are trysting places, places where boys go to meet girls. I guess today people meet in parties or discos or online, I don't know. In those days, if a guy wanted to meet a girl, he would go and stand by a well. Why? It was a patriarchal society. Women were not allowed to be in public alone. So they would only go out at dawn or dusk in group to the wells or to the fountains, the laundry, and to fetch water. And so that's why guys would hang around wells to see the girls. We have examples in the Bible. For example, when Abraham wanted to find a suitable wife for his son Isaac, he sent his servant to the land of his fathers to look for a nice girl. And the servant went, found a well, and said a prayer, "Lord, may the girl that comes by to fetch water and to whom I will ask, give me a drink. If she answers to me, let her be the one you have chosen for Isaac." And that's how Isaac ended up marrying Rebecca. Later, in chapter 29 of the book of Genesis, Jacob goes to a well and he meets Rachel. And it was love at first sight. Moses encountered his wife, Zipporah, also by a well. You see, wells were places where marriages were arranged. So it's very strange that Jesus, alone, his disciples had gone looking for food, sits by a well. And a woman comes by. Here comes the bride. But mind you, it's noon. Very strange. As I said, women would go out at dawn or dusk together alone. Something is wrong in this picture. Why wouldn't she go with the others? We don't know yet. We will find out that maybe she did not have a good reputation. And she sits. She comes to the well where Jesus is sitting. And Jesus breaks all social conventions and boundaries and starts talking to her. She is a woman alone in public. You don't talk to her. She is a Samaritan, even worse. And she's at a well. I mean, you could really get in trouble. And yet Jesus asks for a drink. I said at the beginning of Mass, this is so beautiful. Because God, any experience of conversion begins with the realization that God is thirsting for us. Mother Teresa understood this. In every chapel of the Missionaries of Charity, there's these two words, "I thirst." Mother Teresa understood that God has thirst for us, our soul, our love. Jesus reveals that he has that thirst for us, for her. She complains, "How can you, a man, ask me, a woman, a Samaritan, at this place, ask me for a drink?" And Jesus answers, "If you knew the gift of God," these words summarize the whole gospel. If you knew the gift of God, in other words, if you knew that God is a gift, God is love, and love only exists in the form of a gift. You cannot purchase it, buy it, sell it. You can only give it as a gift. And it's also the definition of who Jesus is. Jesus is the gift God sent us. He gave us his only Son for the salvation of the world. He's a gift. God is not there asking for anything. He is there only to give. She complains, but Jesus says, "The water that I will give you will well up forever inside of you until eternal life. While anyone who drinks this water will keep coming back and becoming thirsty again and again." St. Augustine says that this desire, this need to go back to the well, is the concupiscent desire. It's our distorted desires. We thirst, we long for something, and we all search for love in the wrong places. We go, try to have our fill, with the usual suspects, with wealth and power and riches and pleasures and you name it. But we are thirsty over and over and over again. It becomes an addiction that does not satisfy us. Only God can satisfy our thirst. And that's what Jesus announces to her. And that's what the gospel, the second reading today also points out when Paul says, God's love has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's what satisfies the longing and the desire and the thirst of our heart. Now, interesting twist, Jesus asks her, go call your husband. Why? Someone said that, you know, being a good Catholic boy, Jesus, before he starts flirting with a woman, wants to find out whether or not she's married. Go call your husband. Well, in that mentality, in that society, women without a husband were indeed alone. They were indeed rejected by society. They were lacking any protection. So he asks, do you have someone in your life that takes care of you? And she says, no, I don't have a husband. And Jesus reveals to her, I know, you've been married 5 times, and now you're living with number 6, and he's not even your husband. You see how this woman has been searching, had been longing for love, giving and receiving love, but never to her satisfaction. Conversion is always a love story. It's always an encounter with a greater love. And Jesus is preparing her for this. She has been looking, searching for love in all the wrong places. But now she finds Jesus. This is the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John presents Jesus doing his first miracle at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Then the next chapter, chapter 3, the disciples of John the Baptist complain with John the Baptist, look, all the people that were going with us now are following Jesus. And John the Baptist says, the friend of the groom rejoices that the bride is with the groom, as if to say, Jesus is the groom. The bride, humanity, goes to him. I'm happy. And John, who also wrote the book of Revelation at the end, mentions that the bride, the church, the bride of the Lamb, waits for the wedding banquet of the Lamb. So everything that John writes has a very characteristic reference to marriage, to Jesus as the marriage of God and humanity. She, the Samaritan woman, is shocked. Jesus is a prophet. You know everything about my life. And she starts with questions about the true worship. But Jesus says, from now on, true worship will be in spirit and truth. Not in one place or the other, but only if you have the Holy Spirit. And I give you that Spirit. It's the living water. She is finally convinced. She leaves the water bucket jar and she goes announcing that she has found the Messiah. Interesting, she leaves the bucket. She had been using that bucket all of her life. She doesn't need it anymore. Anyone who meets the Lord drops something. Peter dropped the net. Matthew left the table of the tax collectors. Zacchaeus left his wealth. Bartimaeus dropped his cloak as he followed the Lord. She leaves the bucket behind. She doesn't need it anymore. Now she has found that which satisfies her longing, her thirst fully. And she announces, I have met one who knows everything about me. Could he be the Messiah, the Christ? She becomes the first evangelizer in the Gospel of John. I wanted to go through the whole Gospel with you because I think it's so powerful. And I recommend, make time this week to read it again. It's a long chapter, but it's so powerful. It speaks of a conversion that comes from an encounter with a greater. Claim this gospel to the catechumens this weekend, because we want to encourage them to discover this greater love and to have the courage to drop the bucket, the empty bucket that never was able to satisfy our thirst, and instead to turn to the Lord, who is the fountain of living water. And so I leave you with a question. What is your bucket? What is that which you have turned to satisfy your longings over and over and over again without ever being satisfied? Conversion, Lent, is an opportunity to drop that useless bucket and go searching for the water, the living water that wells up to eternal life. Let us ask the Lord today for this great adventure, this great privilege of meeting the water, living water, that springs up in us for eternal life.
Amen.